بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، فنكمل أصول السنة، نحاول أن ننتهي من الكتاب حتى نخرج من هذه الدورة بكتاب قد أنهيناه إن شاء الله. إذا بقي وقت أكملنا في الفقه.
So the Shaykh, he began praising Allah Ta'ala and beseeching Allah to send us salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family and his companions all together. As to proceed, he said that we're going to, inshallah Ta'ala, in accordance with the time that we have remaining, try to complete Usul al-Sunnah, inshallah Ta'ala.
قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله والإيمان بشفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبقوم يخرجون من النار بعدما احترقوا وصاروا فحما فيؤمر بهم إلى نهر على باب الجنة كما جاء في الأثر كيف شاء الله وكما شاء الله إنما هو الإيمان به والتصديق به.
The author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he mentioned, and to have iman or believe in the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to believe that some of the people we brought out of the fire after they have been burnt therein and reduced to charcoal, that it will be ordered for them to be placed in a river by the door of paradise, as has been reported in the narration. All of that, however Allah wills, and whatever way Allah wills, indeed it is to have faith in it and to attest to its truthfulness.
من مسائل أيضا الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بشفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشفاعة الأنبياء والصالحين والشهداء يوم القيامة، وهذه الشفاعة دل عليها القرآن والسنة والإجماع. أما من القرآن فقوله سبحانه وتعالى في بيان شرطي الشفاعة وكم من ملك في السماوات لا تغني شفاعتهم شيئا إلا من بعد أن يأذن الله لمن يشاء ويرضى، فذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى شرطي الشفاعة وهما الإذن للشافع والرضا عن الشافع والمشفوع له. وأما من السنة فأحاديث كثيرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وردت في الصحيحين وفي غيرهما في بيان تفاصيل الشفاعة، وأجمع أهل العلم على ذلك وخالف الخوارج والمعتزلة لأنهم يرون أن صاحب الذنوب والكبائر كافر مخلد في النار لا تنفعه الشفاعة.
So the affair, or from the affairs of belief in the last day, what is connected to that is belief in the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the intercession of the other prophets, the intercession of the righteous and the martyrs on the day of judgment. And this is something which is affirmed by way of the Qur'an, the Sunnah, and the Ijma'. As for what has come aside of the Qur'an regarding this issue, then that is what has come in a statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, wherein he mentions the two conditions that must be met in order for intercession to take place. That is the statement of Allah Ta'ala wherein he said, "And how many angels are there within the heavens whose intercession will not be of benefit except after Allah grants his permission and Allah Ta'ala is pleased." He says, so here Allah Ta'ala, he mentions inside of this verse the two conditions that must be met in order for intercession to take place. The first intercession is the permission of Allah Ta'ala for the interceder himself. And the second condition is Allah's pleasure for both the interceder and the one that he intercedes for. And likewise, this affair is mentioned inside of the Sunnah. And the ahadith that are come in this regard are many. Some of them in the two sahihs, some of them in other than them, regarding the details of the intercession. And there's likewise consensus regarding this issue. of the people of knowledge regarding belief in the intercession. And the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila are both in opposition to this belief, since they believe that the one who commits sins is a kafir who is going to remain in the hellfire for all eternity, and there will be no benefit in intercession for him.
والشفاعة على أنواع باختصار منها ما هو خاص بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومنه ما هو عام للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولغيره من الأنبياء والصالحين والشهداء. أما ما كان خاصا بنبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام فأوله الشفاعة العظمى، وهي الشفاعة التي اعتذر عنها الأنبياء وأحالوا في الأخير إلى نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام في أن يقضي الله عز وجل بين الناس، فيشفع نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن يسجد تحت العرش فيقال له: يا محمد اشفع تشفع وسل تعطى، فيقول: يا ربي أمتي أمتي، فيأذن الله عز وجل للقضاء بين الناس ويأمر بدخول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنة وأمته. فأول الأنبياء دخولا الجنة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأول الأمم أمة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. الشفاعة الثانية هي في فتح أبواب الجنة، وهذه لا تفتح إلا لرسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. والشفاعة الثالثة هي أن الكافر لا تنفعه الشفاعة ولا تنفعهم شفاعة الشافعين، غير أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شفع لعمه أبي طالب فكان أخف أهل النار عذابا. والشفاعة الأولى والثانية هي المقام المحمود الذي يحمده عليه أهل الموقف ويثنون عليه به في الشفاعة العظمى والشفاعة في فتح أبواب الجنة.
The intercession is of various types. From them, there are those types that are specific to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from them there are those intercessions that are general, shared between him as well as others from the other prophets, the righteous and the martyrs. As for those intercessions that are specific to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the first of them is that greater intercession, and it is the intercession which all of the other prophets will excuse themselves from until the affair ends up with our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he will go and he will fall down prostrate before the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala, he will say to him, raise your head, O Muhammad, intercede, your intercession shall be accepted, ask and you shall be granted your request. And he will say, my Lord, my Ummah. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will judge between the people and he will command the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and his ummah to enter into the paradise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And so the first of the prophets to enter into paradise is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the first nation to enter into paradise will be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second intercession is intercession for the opening of the doors of paradise, for the doors of paradise will not be opened up until the Messenger of Allah alayhi as-salam opens them. And the third type of intercession that is specific to him alayhi as-salam, what must be known firstly is that the kafir is such that intercession will not benefit a disbeliever, with the exception of Abu Talib and the intercession of the Messenger of Allah alayhi as-salam for him. For by way of his interceding for him, he will be the lightest of the people of hellfire in terms of punishment. So the first two, they are the maqam al-mahmood, that praiseworthy station that has been granted to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam on the Day of Judgment. And this is the intercession for the people of the mawqif, those who are standing for that long period of time, for them to be relieved of their standing. and the second being the entrance or the opening of the doors of paradise.
وأما الشفاعات العامة للنبي ولغيره من الأنبياء والصالحين والأولياء والشهداء فالأولى في رفع درجات أهل الجنة حين يشفع المؤمن لأهله فترتفع درجاته والابن لوالديه والثانية الشفاعة لقوم دخلوا النار من أهل التوحيد بسبب كبائرهم فيخرجون منها وأكثر أحاديث الشفاعة في هذا النوع وهو الذي أشار إليه الإمام أحمد رحمه الله ويسميهم أهل الجنة الجهنميون لأنهم أخرجوا وقد احترقوا ثم يلقون في نهر فينبتون ويحيون من جديد فيدخلون الجنة والنوع الثالث في قوم استحقوا دخول النار فلا يدخلونها بسبب الشفاعة وهذا النوع يذكره بعض أهل العلم وبعضهم يقول كابن القيم أنه لا دليل عليه
As for the intercessions that are general and shared between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other than him from the other prophets and the martyrs and the righteous, then they are as follows. The first of them is intercession for the raising of the levels of the people of paradise so that the people of paradise, once they have entered into it, their level will be raised and elevated by way of the supplications that are made for them by their family and the likes. From that, for example, the dua of a son for his father. The second is intercession for people who enter into the fire from the people of Tawheed as a result of their sins, for them to come out of the fire. And the majority of the ahadith that speak about the intercession are from this category. As to be mentioned by, this is what Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah has mentioned and alluded to here, that the people of the hellfire who come out, they will be referred to by the people of paradise as Jahannamiyun. And they're going to be taken out of the hellfire and they're going to be placed on the bank of a river in which their body is going to be rejuvenated and then they will be allowed to enter into the paradise from there. The third type of intercession is intercession for people who deserve to enter into the fire, not to enter into it. And some of the people of knowledge have spoken regarding this type of intercession and affirmed it. However, others amongst them, such as Ibn Qayyim, mentioned that there is no evidence in reality for this type of intercession.
قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله والإيمان أن المسيح الدجال خارج مكتوب بين عينيه كافر والأحاديث التي جاءت فيه والإيمان بأن ذلك كائن.
Imam Ahmad rahimahullah goes on to mention, and to believe that al-Masih al-Dajjal is going to come, there being written between his eyes, kafir, and to have faith in the ahadith which have come to us regarding him, and to have faith that that will happen.
من الإيمان باليوم الآخر الإيمان بأشراط الساعة وأشراط الساعة إما صغرى أو كبرى وبعض أهل العلم يقسمها إلى أشراط ظهرت وانتهت كبعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وموته وأشراط ظهرت ولا تزال مستمرة ككثرة الزلازل والفتن والتطاول في البنيان وغير ذلك وأشراط لم تظهر بعد وهي الأشراط الكبرى وأولها ظهور المهدي ويعقب ظهور المهدي خروج الدجال ونزول عيسى بعده فيقتل الدجال عيسى عليه السلام يقتل الدجال ودل على خروج الدجال السنة والإجماع أما من السنة فقد أخبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال إني أنذركموه وما من نبي إلا حذر أو أنذر أمته منه. وذكر لنا علامة له قال إنه أعور العين اليمنى ومكتوب بين عينيه كافر أو كافارا، وفتنته عظيمة، معه جنة ونار، وناره جنة وجنته نار. يقول للسماء أمطري فتمطر، يمر على جميع القرى، فأي قرية آمنت جاءها المطر ونبت لها الشجر، ومن كفر به وجحده جف ماؤهم وذهب مطرهم. فتنة من الله عز وجل، وكل شيء بإذن الله عز وجل، اختبارا وابتلاء. إلا مكة والمدينة لا يدخلها. ثم يقاتله أهل الإسلام وجيش الإسلام بقيادة المهدي، فيحاصر جيش الدجال المسلمون في الشام، فيصلون وقد هموا بالخروج وقتال الدجال وجيشه. وجيش الدجال اليهود ومن آمن به من المنافقين والكفار والخوارج. الخوارج من التكفيريين وغيرهم أتباع الدجال، وما أهل السنة فمع المهدي لأنهم بايعوه ولا يرون الخروج عليه، وهذا جاء وخرج، فالخوارج معه وأهل السنة مع المهدي ومع عيسى. ثم يرى أهل السنة أو الناس والمؤمنون وهم قد اصطفوا للصلاة، يرون عيسى نزل على أجنحة الملائكة، فيعرفون أنه عيسى مثل ما نعرف الآن هذه العلامة، فيأمرونه أو يطلبون منه أن يصلي بهم، فيقول إكراما لهذه الأمة يصلي بهم أحدهم، فيصلي المهدي بعيسى. ثم يأمر عيسى بفتح الباب، فيخرج جيش الإسلام ويقاتل جيش الدجال، والدجال أول ما يرى عيسى يذوب كما يذوب الملح في الماء، ثم يدركه عيسى فيقتله برمحه في باب لد، منطقة في الشام باب لد، فينتصر جيش الإسلام ويحكم عيسى الأرض بعد ذلك، إلى آخر قصته، موجودة في كتب أشراط الساعة. نعم. لذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرنا بالاستعادة من فتنة المسيح الدجال.
As it relates to this issue, and from belief in the last day is belief in the signs of the hour, those events that will take place before the hour, and they are either major signs or minor signs. And some of the scholars have categorized them as being, firstly, signs that appeared already and they have stopped, such as the appearance and the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there are those signs that have appeared and they are ongoing and they're still going, such as the occurrence of fitan, the construction of tall buildings and the likes of this. And then there are those signs that have not yet occurred. And from this, there is the emergence of a Dajjal, there is the sending of, or the coming forth of Al-Mahdi, the descent of Isa alayhi salam in order to kill a Dajjal. These are all from the major signs. So Isa alayhi salam, he will come and he's going to kill a Dajjal. And the Muslims will fight along with him against the army of Ad-Dajjal. He says, and what proves and establishes the affair of Ad-Dajjal is the Sunnah as well as the Ijma. From the Sunnah, then it is the statement of the Prophet alayhi salam. He said that I indeed warn you, and there was no prophet that was sent before me except that he warned his ummah against Ad-Dajjal. And he brought details regarding his description. He said that his right eye, he is blind in his right eye, and there will be written between his two eyes, Kaf Fa Ra. And he's going to have along with him a Jannah and a Nar, a paradise and a fire. But his Jannah will be fire, and his fire will be paradise. He will give his command to the sky, and the sky will begin to rain. And he will direct it to the point that all those who believe in him, they will receive that rain, and their trees will grow and bring forth vegetation. Whereas all of those who disbelieve in him, the rain will be withheld from them, and they will experience famine. He said, and so this is a trial from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this trial, it will reach everywhere and every part of the earth, with the exception of Mecca and Medina. And so the Muslims, they are going to fight against him, being led in that fight by Al-Mahdi, to the point that they're going to catch up with them, with Ad-Dajjal's army in Sham, and they're going to fight them there. And the army of Ad-Dajjal will consist of the Jews, as well as the other Kufar and the Khawarij. They're going to be along with Ad-Dajjal, whereas Ahl Sunnah, the believers, they're going to be fighting alongside Al-Mahdi. And they're going to go out with him, and they're going to fight alongside him, and they're going to fight alongside Isa alayhi salam as well. And so while the believers, they're going to be gathered inside of one of the houses of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Isa, he will descend upon the wing of an angel. He will descend being carried upon an angel upon his wings. And he's going to come down while the Muslims are in the rows lined up for salah. And they will want him to lead them in prayer, but Isa, as a nobility for this ummah, he will say that one of them is to lead him in prayer. And Al-Mahdi, he will lead Isa alayhi salam in salah. And so then he will open the door, and then the army of the Muslims will go out along with him, and they will go towards Ad-Dajjal and his army. And as soon as Ad-Dajjal sees him, he will melt, just as salt melts when water is poured upon it. And so they're going to catch up with them at the Bab of Lud, which is in Sham, and they're going to kill him there. And so this is something which will occur, and thereafter, after he has been killed, Isa, he will rule the earth for a period of time, and this will occur towards the end of time. And for more on the subject, one can refer to books that speak about the signs of the hour.
قال وأن عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام ينزل فيقتله بباب لد، وهذا ذكرناه، وباب لد منطقة في الشام.
So he said, and that Isa عليه السلام, mean Ibn Maryam, he would descend and kill him at the gate of Lud. And as we mentioned already, the gate of Lud is a place that's in Sham.
قال رحمه الله الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص كما جاء في الخبر أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا.
And he likewise mentioned, and that faith consists of both speech and action. It increases and decreases, as has been reported in the narration. The most complete of the believers with respect to faith is the best of them in manners.
الإيمان مسائله كثيرة، وقد دل القرآن والسنة والإجماع على تعريف الإيمان وعلى مسائله، ومختصر مسائل الإيمان أولا أن الإيمان قول وعمل واعتقاد، أو قول اللسان أو اعتقاد الجنان وقول اللسان وعمل الأركان الجوارح، والثاني من المسائل المهمة في الإيمان الاعتقاد أن الإيمان شعب وأجزاء وأقسام. لا كما يقول أهل البدع أن الإيمان شيء واحد لا يتقسم. ومن مسائل الإيمان الإيمان بأن الإيمان يزيد وينقص وأن أهله يتفاوتون بحسب إيمانهم. ومن مسائل الإيمان أنه لا يجوز السؤال أمؤمن أنت، ويستحب في الجواب أن يستثني فيقول أنا مؤمن إن شاء الله. هذه خلاصة اعتقاد أهل السنة في باب الإيمان، وكل مسألة من هذه المسائل عليها الأدلة الكثيرة.
So the Shaykh حفظه الله ورعاه, he mentioned that iman is such that its issues and the affairs connected to it are many, and what proves and establishes iman and its issues and its definition that we have mentioned is the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma'. A summary of those issues and affairs that are connected to iman is as follows. Firstly, that iman is statement, actions, and beliefs, or statements of the tongue, beliefs within one's inner self, and actions upon the arkan or the pillars. The second issue is that iman is branches and parts and categories, in opposition to that which is mentioned by Ahlul Bid'ah, those who say that iman is one solid entity and it is not categorized or it does not consist of parts. And from the issues connected to iman is that iman increases and it decreases, and the people are variant as it relates to iman. They are not all one and the same. Likewise, from the issues connected to it, that it is not permissible to ask someone, are you a believer? And it is recommended that if one is asked this question, that he make an istithna, that he makes an exception and he says, I am a believer, inshallah. All of these issues have their proofs connected to them from the Book of Allah, from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam.
أما قول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله هنا الإيمان قول وعمل، هذه العبارة لا تختلف عن قول من قال الإيمان اعتقاد وقول وعمل، لأن قول هنا تشتمل على قول القلب وهو تصديقه ويقينه، وقول اللسان وهو الشهادتين. وأما عمل فهي عمل القلب، وهي أعمال القلوب، الرجاء والتوكل والمحبة والخوف. وعمل اللسان وهي العبادات التي تؤدى باللسان كالاستغفار، قراءة القرآن. وعمل الأركان وهي العبادات التي لا تؤدى إلا بالأركان كالصلاة، أركان يعني الأيدي والأرجل وهكذا البدن، كالصلاة والحج وغيرها. فإذا قول السلف قول وعمل هو مثل قول السلف اعتقاد وقول وعمل، لأن الأساس الذي يرد به على أهل البدع هو إثبات أن العمل من الإيمان، لأن المرجئة كلهم يرون أن الإيمان لا يدخل فيه العمل.
So the statement of Imam Ahmad here, alayhi rahmatullah, that iman is statement and action, In reality, there's no difference between his statement and the statement of the Salaf who say that Iman is i'tiqad, it is the creed, and it is the statement, and it is action. This is because his statement here, that Iman is statement and action, the statements are, you have statements of the heart. Statements of the heart, such as a tasdeeq, yani the affirmation of one's belief, and likewise his certainty. And then there are statements of the tongue, such as the two testimonies of faith. And as for actions, we have actions of the heart, such as, for example, hope, trust, love, fear, and like this. And then you have actions of the tongue, such as istighfar, recitation of the Quran, and other than it. And then you have the actions which consist of actions upon the arkan, upon the pillars of al-Islam, from salat and other than it. You have actions of the hand, actions of the feet, such as salat, hajj, and other than it. And so the statement of Imam Ahmad here, that Iman is statement and action, is similar to the statement of the Salaf al-Salih, who say that it is statement, action, and belief. And the most important part of both definitions, that which contains is the statement that, yani, that the actions is from Iman, because in this lies a refutation against the people of innovation. From them, al-Murji'ah, those who do not consider actions to be a part of al-Iman.
وأما الإيمان حيث الزيادة والنقصان فهذا أيضا دل عليه القرآن والسنة والإجماع. والقرآن دل على الزيادة والنقصان من أوجه كثيرة، وباختصار وجه الأول النص على الزيادة والنقصان، هو النص على الزيادة، وكل ما زاد فهو ناقص أو ينقص. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا. الثاني زيادة الهدى، وأنتم تستخرجون الأدلة، زيادة الخشوع، تفاضل درجات أهل الجنة، أمر المؤمنين بالإيمان. يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا، أي زيدوا إيمانا. وأما سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فنختم هذه المسألة بحديث دل على المسائل، مسائل الإيمان عموما.
No. As for the affair of Iman increasing and decreasing, this is something which is proven by the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma'. As for the Quran, then it proves it by way of various avenues. And the summary of those avenues is as follows. Firstly, there is a textual mention of increasing and decreasing, because everything that increases is subsequently likewise decreases. And then, such as the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he mentioned, and those who, when the people said to them that the people have gathered for you, they have gathered, meaning an army for you, so therefore be afraid of them, but that only increase them in their iman. From that as well is the mention of an increase in huda and guidance, and likewise an increase in khushu and humility, and the variation of the ranks of the people of paradise, and the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to increase in certain affairs as well. As Allah Ta'ala said, O you who believe, believe, meaning increase in your iman. And this issue, the issue of iman, we're going to conclude it by mentioning a hadith that summarizes this matter.
Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. فالمسألة الأولى أن الإيمان قول وعمل واعتقاد. قال الإيمان قال أعلاها قول، هذا القول، وأدناها إماطة هذا العمل، يبقى معنا الاعتقاد. قال والحياء، لأن الحياء من عمل القلب. وأما زيادة الإيمان ونقصانه ففي قوله أعلاها وأدناها. وأما في مسألة الإيمان أقسام وشعب، قال الإيمان 70 شعبة، الإيمان يتقسم وأجزاء. فهذا الحديث دل على على اعتقاد أهل السنة في مسائل الإيمان.
Now the hadith, it is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wherein he mentioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that iman is 60 some odd branches. The highest of them is the statement La ilaha illallah. The lowest of them is to remove something harmful from the pathway, and al-haya, shyness or modesty, is a branch of al-iman. He says, and so when he mentioned the first affair, yani the statement or the iman is statement, action, and belief, all of that is combined inside his narration. As for the first affair, that it is statement, action, and belief, then his statement, that the highest of it is the statement La ilaha illallah, here's your statement. And the removal of something harmful from the pathway, this is an action. And then now remains for us mention of the belief of the heart, and that is found in his statement. And al-haya is a branch of al-iman, as haya is an action of the heart. Concerning the fact that iman increases and it decreases, then it is found in a statement a'laha, that it has a highest point, wa'naha, that it has a lowest point. And concerning the fact that iman, it is of various types and parts and categories, that it is a statement that iman is 60 some odd branches. So this narration, it brings together the aqidah and the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the issue of al-iman.
وأما الحديث الذي ذكره الإمام أحمد رحمه الله فقوله أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. أكمل دليل على أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، أن هناك كامل وهناك ناقص. وقوله أحسنهم خلقا دل على أن العمل، أن الخلق عمل، دل على أن العمل من الإيمان. فهذا الحديث فيه رد على المرجئة. نعم.
As for the narration that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah brought here, wherein he said the most complete of the believers with respect to faith is the best of them in his manners, then concerning this narration that the most complete of the believers, in this lies an indication that that iman, that it increases and it decreases. And when he said ahsanahum khuluqa, the most or the best of them in terms of his manners and his character, then this shows you that action is a part of iman, because khuluq is an action, having good character is an action. So in this narration lies a refutation against the murji'a.
قال بعد ذلك رحمه الله ومن ترك الصلاة فقد كفر وليس من الأعمال شيء تركه كفر إلا الصلاة من تركها فهو كافر وقد أحل الله قتله.
He went on to mention, alayhi rahmatullah, and whoever abandons the prayer, he has disbelieved. And there's nothing from amongst the actions, the abandonment of which constitutes disbelief, except for the prayer. Whoever abandons it is a disbeliever, and Allah has made killing him lawful.
هذه المسألة من المسائل الخلافية بين أهل العلم، وهو هل تارك الصلاة تكاسلا كافر خارج من الملة أو ليس بكافر، أي أنه كفر أكبر أو كفر أصغر. والمسألة خلافية بين أهل العلم، وهي من المسائل التي الخلاف فيها كبير. أما من تركها جحودا وإنكارا ف هذا كافر قولا واحدا. ومن يرى كفره يستدل بقوله تعالى فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فخلوا سبيلهم، أو قال فإخوانكم في الدين، فدل على من شرط أخوة الدين فعل الصلاة. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. ومن لا يرى كفره استدل بأحاديث الشفاعة وأنه يخرج من النار من كان في قلبه أدنى إثقال ذرة من إيمان، ومن حافظ على الصلاة يكون إيمانه أعلى من هذا. وكما قلنا المسألة خلافية عريضة بين أهل العلم، ولكن هذا كله يدل على وجوب المحافظة على الصلاة وعلى خطورة ترك الصلاة أو التكاسل عنها، لأن من تكاسل وترك فهو دائر بين خروجه من الإسلام أو أنه على كفر أصغر، وهذا أكبر من الكبائر. نعم.
So as it relates to this issue, then this is from the issues wherein the scholars have differed. And the difference regarding this issue is a major difference of opinion. And it is whether or not the one who has abandoned the prayer out of laziness is a kafir that has exited the religion. Or is his disbelief, major disbelief or minor disbelief. So as we said, there's a major difference of opinion between the scholars regarding this issue. As for the one who abandons the prayer out of an outright denial of the obligation of prayer, then this person is an outright disbeliever who was left the fold of al-Islam. And from that which establishes this, and which is a proof for those scholars who say that the one who abandons the prayer is disbelieved, is the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and if they repent and establish the salah and pay the zakat, then they are your brothers in religion. So here he has made a condition for brotherhood to be the establishment and enactment of the prayer. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the covenant that lies between us and them is the prayer, whoever abandons it is disbelieved. As it relates to those who say that he has not left the fold of al-Islam if he abandons it out of laziness, then they rely upon the hadith of the intercession, wherein it is mentioned that the one who has adna, like the lowest amount of iman aside of his heart, should be taken out of the fire. And it is known that the one who is consistent upon his prayer, he has more than just that small amount of iman. He says, at any rate, as you mentioned, this is an issue concerning which there is a great difference of opinion between the scholars. And all of this points to the obligation of preservation of the prayer and being consistent upon that. Because the one who is not consistent upon his prayer and he is lazy, then he is rotating between whether or not he's even a Muslim and whether or not he has left the fold of al-Islam.
ثم بدأ رحمه الله ببيان فضائل الصحابة فقال خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر الصديق ثم عمر بن الخطاب ثم عثمان بن عفان، نقدم هؤلاء الثلاثة كما قدمهم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يختلفوا في ذلك.
Then he goes on to mention concerning the fadail and the virtue of the Sahaba. For he said that the best of this ummah after its prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, then Umar ibn al-Khattab, then Uthman ibn Affan. We give precedence to these three, just as the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave precedence to them. They never differed in that.
As-Sahabi huwa man laqiya an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan bih wa mata ala al-Islam. وفضل الصحبة لا يعدلها فضل في هذه الأمة بعد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فأفضل هذه الأمة هم أصحاب رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام، ولا يأتي أحد بعد الصحابة بمجموعهم وأفرادهم من هو خير من الصحابة مهما علت رتبته. فالصحابة أفضل في المجموع وفي الأفراد، ولذلك بعضهم قدم عمر بن عبد العزيز وهو من التابعين على معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنه، فسئل عن ذلك أبو توبة الربيع بن نافع وغيره الأوزاعي، فقالوا لغبار في أنف معاوية مع رسول الله أفضل من كذا من عمر بن عبد العزيز، وقالوا لا يقاس بأصحاب رسول الله أحد. فهذه هي القاعدة، إذا ثبتت الصحبة لواحد من الصحابة لا يأتي بعده من هو أفضل منه. لذلك قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه.
The Sahabi is one who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him, and died upon al-Islam. The virtue of suhbah, of being a companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, is such that there is no other virtue that can be attained for anyone in this ummah that is equal or on par with that. And so they are the best of this ummah outright, and none that comes after them are equivalent to them. The Sahaba, they are better as a group and they are better as individuals. As a group, they are better than any group that comes after them, and as individuals, they are better than any individuals that come after them. For this reason, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz from the Tabi'een, he was compared to Muawiyah, and it was asked who was better. As Abu Tawba al-Awza'i mentioned, and others mentioned concerning who was better, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz or Muawiyah, and he said that the dust in the nose of Muawiyah is better than 1,000 Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's. He says,
مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ تُرَاب مَعَ رَسُولِ يعني في الجهاد.
Meaning that the dust that would get into the nose of Muawiyah while doing jihad in the path of Allah along with the Messenger of Allah alayhi as-salam is better than 1,000 Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's. He says, and this is, this is the principle that we take with us, that if suhbah or companionship is established for a companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, then no one that comes after them can be better than them in any way. Due to this, the Messenger of Allah said alayhi wasallam, do not revile my companions, for if one of you were to spend gold equivalent to Uhud in charity, it would not equal a handful spent by one of them, not even half of that.
وأفضل الصحابة بالإجماع وأبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، والأدلة على فضائله كثيرة في القرآن والسنة، وسيجنبها الأتقى قيل أبو بكر، والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به، الذي جاء بالصدق رسول الله وصدق به أبو بكر، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لو كنت متخذا خليلا اتخذت أبا بكر خليلا، وبعده عمر، ما سلك عمر فجا إلا سلك الشيطان غيره، وبعده عثمان. ألا أستحي من رجل تستحي منه الملائكة؟ من يجهز جيش العسرة وله الجنة فجهزه عثمان، ثم وقع الخلاف في السلف في الأول أيهم أفضل عثمان أم علي، والخلاف في الفضل لا في ترتيب الخلافة، أما ترتيب الخلافة فبالإجماع عثمان وقبل علي وأولى، وأما في الفضل فاختلف السلف خلاف قديم، واستقر أمر أهل السنة على أن عثمان أفضل من علي رضي الله تعالى عنه. وعلي أيضا قال لا أعطين الراية رجل يحب الله ورسوله ويحبه الله ورسوله، فأعطاها علي، وفضائل الصحابة كثير. نعم.
The best of this ummah by way of consensus is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is something which, yani, his virtues are proven by, or his virtues are many and are proven and established within the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma'. From them, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, and the one who has taqwa will avoid that. And this is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Likewise, he mentioned, and when he came with the truth, he believed in it. This is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Likewise, he alayhi as-salam, he said that if I were to take a khalil amongst the people, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my khalil. And after Abu Bakr, in virtue comes Umar bin Khattab. The Messenger of Allah said alayhi as-salam that Umar does not take a particular pathway. The shaitan, he leaves that pathway and takes a different pathway. And after him comes Uthman in virtue. As the Messenger of Allah said alayhi as-salam, shall I not have shyness from the one whom even the angels have shyness from? Then he mentioned on one occasion, who will prepare and ready an army so that they can attain their reward? And Uthman, he came and he prepared the army. He says, and as it relates to who is better in virtue between Uthman and Ali, then the Salaf, they would differ regarding who is better, meaning in fadl, in virtue. As it relates to who had the most right to the Khilafah, there was no difference of opinion regarding that. The difference came as it relates to the fadl of virtue. And that which Ahl Sunnah was settled upon is that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is better than Ali. And Ali, he still has great virtue. As the Messenger of Allah said, alayhi as-salam, tomorrow I'm going to give the flag to someone who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger love him. And he gave the flag the next day to Ali.
ثم ذكر رحمه الله بقية أصحاب الشورى على ترتيبهم في الفضل، وذكر كذلك المهاجرين وأهل بدر، وذكر مسألة أن الصحبة تثبت ولو برؤية لحظة، فكل من رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لحظة من اللحظات وهو مؤمن به ثبت له فضل الصحبة، ولكن الصحابة في أنفسهم يتفاوتون في الفضل. ويكفي في ذلك قراءة كلام الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى.
And so he goes on thereafter to mention the rest of the companions of the Shura, of the consultative body, in terms of their, in order of their virtue. And he mentioned thereafter some of the other companions who from them are the companions of Badr, and other than them from the Sahaba. And he goes on to mention thereafter concerning the issue of a suhba, that if suhba is established even for a lahza, even for a small amount of time, a very small amount of time for a person, then he's considered to be a sahabi. He says, and so the sahaba themselves, based upon this, they are variant in terms of their level and in terms of their degree.
Now, أقرأ كلام الباب.
So he mentions thereafter.
ثم بعد هؤلاء ثلاثة أصحاب الشورى.
And then after them comes the after those three, the five companions of the Shura: Ali ibn Abi Talib, Az-Zubair, Talha, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. Each of them was fitting and appropriate for the Khilafah, and each of them was an Imam. In this regard, we take the hadith of Umar, who said that we used to consider while the of the hadith of Ibn Umar, who said that we used to consider while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive and his companions were widespread, Abu Bakr to be first, then Umar, then Uthman, and then we remained quiet. Then after the five companions of the Shura, of the people who fought in Badr from among the Muhajirun, and then those who fought in Badr from amongst the Ansar, from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each one's rank is according to his migration and precedence in the religion. Then the most superior of mankind after these, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the generation in which he was sent, everyone who accompanied him, whether for a year, a month, a day, an hour, or just merely saw him, then he is from amongst his companions. His companionship is according to the extent to which he accompanied him, and to the extent to which he had precedence in being with him, heard from him, and looked at him. So the closest of them in companionship to him are more excellent than the generation that did not see him, even if they met Allah with all good actions. Despite that, those who accompanied the Prophet ﷺ, saw him and heard from him, are superior. And whoever saw him with eyes, believed in him, even if for an hour, is more excellent on the account of his companionship with the Prophet ﷺ than the Tabi'een, even if they did every action of goodness.
Bismillah. بهذا نقف ونكمل إن شاء الله غدا نحاول إنهاء الكتاب جزاكم الله خير